Chapter 60 Underground. "We're dead," Volney lamented, voice echoing in the impenetrable darkness. "We're dead and in the abyss. What did I do to deserve this?"
"We're not in the abyss," Gerund disagreed, voice exasperated. "For Eldaloth's sake, Volney, get a hold of yourself. This is no worse than the sacks they put us in before.
I expected there would be a lot more pain and torture, perhaps with some fire or demons, but I think the dark will drive me barking mad."
"You already are," Gerund said. "Look, people go to the abyss when they die, and if they have been disposed to evil, we sank into the ground. Didn't you hear them shouting in surprise? This was some sort of magic. If we could get out of this accursed wagon, we might just find our way to light. If you listen carefully, you can hear the wind moaning from time to time. That means there is a way to the surface."
Gerund yanked at the bars, kicked the lock, and then slumped down in frustration.
"At any rate, since they can't drug Jen any more, perhaps he'll wake up and have some sort of brilliant idea."
Since their disastrous encounter with Padre Nolan on the floating dock, the pure men who fed them their meals had always forced Jen to drink some foul-smelling liquid. Not once since their capture and entrapment within the carriage had Jen managed any sort of coherency, even if he managed to open his confused, bleary eyes. Gerund shook him, eliciting a brief moan.
"Why do you think they did that to him and not to us?" Volney wondered aloud.
"Drug him, I mean."
"I don't know," Gerund admitted, leaning back against the wall. "I've asked myself that on occasion. I would say that they fear that he might use his intelligence, fame, or persuasiveness to find some way out of this rolling jail cell."
"And what are we, a couple of dog-brained morons?" asked Volney. "We're both in the upper classes. We're both educated and eloquent."
"If that's the way you feel, if they find us, I'll ask them to drug you too, for the sake of your pride and a little peace and quiet. We need to think."
When the wagon had passed through the ground and into the empty chamber, it fell several feet, splintering the wheels. The carriage rocked back and forth uneasily with their movements. The absolute enveloping dark clouded their notion of the passage of time. They said little save to engage in inane conversation, just to gain the reassurance that another person waited with them in the dark. Jen began breathing more shallowly, turning restlessly and mumbling.
"I think he's coming out of it," Volney observed hopefully. "And I think it's getting lighter out there," Gerund added.
After butting heads with Volney scrambling for the window slit, Gerund gripped the bars and peered out, noticing a faint orange glow. Periodically, the faint echo of whispered voices would reach their ears, or the staccato of a loose rock kicked about the stone walls.
"We're definitely in a cave," Gerund asserted.
"Have the Elder Fair found us?"
"I don't think so. Whoever is coming treads lightly without a lot of armour. They're too quiet."
"And you two thundermouths are not!"
Maywin's voice sent a surge of hope through Gerund's veins, her torch blinding him as she rounded the corner of an underground passageway. Once his eyes settled, he saw that the carriage had fallen into a large, damp cave, with stalactites and stalagmites sticking up like points of wet clay.
"I hope Ethras is with you," Gerund commented.
"He is not," Maywin reported.
"I have Torbrand Cairn and General Harband," Volney exclaimed. "I'd recognize him anywhere, after all the stories."
The general executed a small bow for his benefit.
"Recognition is not our friend right now," Torbrand cautioned seriously. "And neither is the door of that carriage, I assume."
"It took a padre incanting some spell to open it," Gerund confirmed. "We're trapped, aren't we?"
"For the time being," Maywin said, face troubled. "Is Jen well?"
"They drugged him to keep him incapacitated. They usually administered a dose at night when the caravan stopped. They did not get around to that tonight, so perhaps he will wake soon. I don't know."
Maywin crouched on the ground and rummaged through her backpack.
"Just a moment. Tell me, does he have both of his legs?"
Gerund and Volney both creased their brows.
"Yes," they answered in unison.
"Then he truly is the most dangerous man alive."
"Put a pinch of this under his nose," she said, handing Gerund a small pouch she produced from her pack.
"Just a pinch, mind you."
"I need a bit more light,"
Gerund requested, after fumbling in the dark for several seconds. Maywin strode forward and put the torch near the bars.
"What do you mean about Jen and the leg?" Volney inquired, perplexed.
"The church has sent riders throughout Keyhole, proclaiming that Jen was the Ilk, attacked Shotan, and was then killed by him.
They say they amputated Jen's leg and are carting it around to major cities in a grand procession. So you see, if Jen shows up not dead and with both legs attached, the church has a major credibility problem.
Jen? The ilk? That's ludicrous, Volney exclaimed. Who would believe such a fable? And if Jen is such a liability, why haven't they killed him? He's been helpless in this wagon for days.
Information, perhaps, Shadan Cairn ventured. That would assume, however, that they truly believe he is the ilk. If they could spend time and search his mind, he might reveal some clues as to what Mikik was up to. Of course, with Shatan dead, I suppose the outcome of the prophecy is already set.
Shatan is dead?
Gerund nearly smashed Volney's face into the bars as he shot from Jen's side. Volney's mouth hung silently open as his companion pushed him out of the way.
Who killed him?
Keep your voice down, Maywin hissed.
Jaren killed him. Few know that. Mirel was able to sneak the news to us before she left for Ogmir.
In the wagon, Jen began to wheeze and cough. Maywin looked behind her nervously.
I'll tell you all we know when Jen awakes. I dislike telling the same story twice. Return the pouch to me, please.
Gerund complied, returning to Jen's side, helping him struggle to a sitting position, clarity returning to his troubled, dark-rimmed eyes.
Easy, Jen,
Gerund cautioned. Jen sat up and ran his fingers through his hair.
Where am I? The last thing I remember was greeting Padre Nolan on the dock.
Gerund smiled, relieved to see Jen awake and coherent.
Well, my friend, we have quite a tale to tell you.
It will have to wait, Maywin said, voice sharp.
Listen.
Ears strained, reaching out into the darkness. But it took nearly a minute for Maywin's human companions to hear the sound that alarmed her. Above them, in the darkness, someone was pounding on stone.
Unbelievable, General Harband laughed. They actually dug a hole all the way down here. They really are desperate.
Well, Torbrand, ready for a fight?
Always. But I'm afraid I have an idea that may delay the pleasure, at least momentarily.
What are you proposing? Maywin asked.
I'm proposing that we let them open the carriage door for us. The wagon is broken. I'm assuming they won't take the effort to fix it and haul it back up the hole. If I guess right, they will lower a token force of men down here to secure the area, and then send in a padre to open the door. Once he is sure that Jen is sedated, they'll haul them out. With limited opponents and the element of surprise, this should be relatively easy, especially if we can eliminate the padre early.
The plan is sound, but I don't want to kill the padre,
Maywin said.
I can incapacitate him without killing him, Jen offered, if I can get close enough to him.
They've been drugging you,
Gerund began.
Yes, I can taste the elm's draught on my lips.
If you feign that you are near waking, perhaps the padre will enter the carriage personally to administer the drug.
Torbrand loosened his sword in its scabbard.
It's set, then. Maywin, you'll need to cover our tracks in this room so they won't suspect that anyone's been here. General, pass those swords inside so they can fight for us once the door is free. Gerund, Volney, when they start coming, yell for help and act as terrified and alone as possible. Jen, striking the padre, will be the cue to advance. The cave entrance exits into a sewer a half mile from here. We will likely have to fight most of the way out. Soldiers will drop through the hole like rats fleeing a flood once we hit them. Go!
Hardman shoved the swords through the bars and retreated back into the passage, Torbrand following. Maywin stayed behind for several minutes, using her cloak to smooth the dirt into as natural a state as she could before she turned the corner and extinguished her torch. Darkness fell again, Volney muttering uncomfortably under his breath. Nearly an hour passed, the sound of the pick and then shovel resounding ever more clearly in the benighted cavern.
It appears our haste was unnecessary, Torbrand observed. By the sound of it, there are three diggers at most.
As he finished his sentence, a rumbling shook the cave, and all at once the ceiling above the carriage collapsed. A thunderous wave of rock, dirt, and diggers' bodies showered down to bounce off the carriage and onto the hard cave floor. Two of the diggers lay motionless while a third yelled in agony, clutching his legs. Hardman snorted.
Morons!
Pale, flickering light from bonfires around the hole provided weak illumination to the scene below.
On cue, Volney and Gerund yelled for help.
"We found them!" someone shouted from above. "Lower Padre Sephir first."
"Mikik's fury," Torbrand swore quietly. "I miscalculated. They aren't expecting us down here, they're expecting a magician. They had at least 3 Padres in the caravan. I expect we'll see all 3 shortly. You may have to reevaluate your reluctance to kill Padres, Maywan."
True to Torbrand's prediction, the soldiers above lowered Padre Sephir first, and as soon as his boots touched the ground, he incanted, a translucent sphere of dusty air encompassing the cavern. Maywan frowned, and Torbrand shook his head in disappointment.
"Wouldn't have made much fun if it had gone according to plan," Hardman whispered consolingly. "Let's hope Jen is as clever as I've heard tell."
2 other Padres were lowered in immediately after Sephir, one attending to the fallen diggers. Maywan watched as Padre Sephir approached the bars, holding a brief conversation with the incarcerated. He approached the door, removing a flask from a cloak pocket.
"Here we go," Hardman said.
"Have you seen anyone else down here?"
Padre Sephir asked Gerund.
"Be quick, boy."
"No, Padre,"
Gerund answered as meekly as he could, which to Jen's ear came across as just a shade under stubborn haughtiness.
"And Jen still sleeps?"
"Yes, Padre."
Jen interrupted Gerund by grumbling and stirring noisily.
"But I think he is near waking."
Sephir abandoned the bars and the conversation immediately.
"Orvis, Brace, we have to hurry. Get as many soldiers down here as you can."
He incanted his spell and the lock popped.
"You 2 get out,"
Sephir commanded after pulling open the door. Volney and Gerund hesitated, unsure what to do. Jen stirred again.
"Get out," Sephir yelled.
Jen steadied himself and kept up his restless act, moving his head back and forth and fluttering his eyelids. Volney and Gerund dismounted the carriage, and the Padre incanted again, though Jen couldn't tell what the spell had done. Sephir's robes rustled as he ascended the carriage, his shadow returning the brief glow of light behind Jen's eyelids back to darkness. The acrid smell of the elm's draught filled the carriage as Sephir unstoppered a vial. Jen opened his eyes briefly and closed them again, as if in a waking swoon.
"Just a moment longer."
Sephir placed the vial on Jen's lips. Jen rocked backward and thrust forward with his legs, heels catching the Padre squarely in the chest. The top of the low door of the wagon smashed into the Padre's head as he shot backward, rotating his body forward while the momentum carried him outside. He was limp before he landed face first on the cave floor. The protective dome of air vanished.
"Sephir!"
the other Padres shouted in unison. A deafening battle cry reverberated through the hall, General Harband yelling a knee-weakening command to attack. Jen moved toward the carriage entrance, muscles sluggish. He gathered the swords under his arm and thrust himself through the open door, weapons clanging as he unfurled the cloak and let them fall to the ground. The other 2 Padres yelled for help from above as their eyes cast about in fear as they assessed the threat they faced in the dark. Volney and Gerund were as still as statues, the victims of some spell. Forgoing a weapon, Jen dashed at the Padres. Using Triss magic, he eroded portions of the floor beneath their feet to throw them off balance and keep their minds far from their spells. With a precise punch to one and a kick to the other, they fell to the ground unconscious. Volney and Gerund snapped from their stupor, and Jen joined them, retrieving the weapons from the ground. Ropes from above cascaded down the hole.
"Let's go!"
Torbrand yelled. Maywan shot down the first 2 soldiers, plunging down the rope before shouldering her bow and reigniting her torch. Hardman and Torbrand punished the first eager soldiers to shimmy down the ropes with a brutal assault. Once the young men joined Maywan, they dashed away from the hole, and the chase through the cramped cavern began. The cave floor alternated between damp, smooth rock and loose gravel, confounding boots and ankles as they struggled forward in the dark.
"I think we went faster walking,"
Hardman commented, after Gerund slid and bashed his head into the wall. Jen straightened him up and helped him along, his own bare feet cut and bleeding. He realized the mark of prophecy on his instep would be visible in better light. Shouting echoed to them from the tunnel behind. The cave rarely widened enough to let more than 2 people walk side by side.
"We could hold them here forever," Jen thought.
"We should find the sewer before long,"
Maywan reassured from the rear, after they had hiked for several minutes, confirming what their noses already sensed. The sounds of pursuit came no closer, harsh, guttural oaths evidencing that their enemies also found the way treacherous. Rank, dark fluid seeping along the walls and pooling on the floors signalled their proximity to their goal, and as they rounded a corner the torch revealed a scattering of pale bricks knocked out of the sewer wall, intermixed with rocks picked out of the cave to form a squat, wide opening. Maywen stiffened. "Someone is approaching, more quickly than is natural."
"A flash skirmisher," Torbrand identified. "Into the sewer! We'll have more room to deal with him there. Looks like you didn't hit one of the Padres hard enough, Jen. Sephir was a fine piece of work, though. He probably won't remember what table manners are when he wakes up. If he wakes up."
Jen ushered Maywen forward and placed himself at the rear of the retreat, ducking through the low opening last. He remembered vividly the night Samian taught him about flash skirmishers. Magicians on both sides of the war used them, enhancing a warrior's or creature's natural speed and strength. The result was a fighter that could slash into an enemy camp to assassinate a general, or into the front line of a defence to quickly weaken a point for a breakthrough charge. While costly to magician and warrior alike, flash skirmishers proved effective tools in killing large numbers quickly with few resources. If the skirmisher caught them in a cave where only one defender could be brought to bear, he would cut through the lot of them like a scythe on summer wheat.
"Get into the middle of the sludge," Torbrand ordered. "It will slow him."
However clean the streets of Tenswater, its sewer presented no improvement over any other. A dark, fetid water, if it could be called that, rose up to the height of their knees. Garbage of all varieties carried slowly on a barely discernible current. The cold liquid chilled their legs as they sloshed forward.
"Stand behind us, Maywen," Jen ordered. "Keep the torch forward so we have light. Those knives will do you no good if the skirmisher has a sword."
Maywen complied, but not before shooting him a look that said, "I know that." Jen assessed his options. The spell he had used to trip up the Padres tired him, but he could manage more. A well-placed spell could put a speedy end to the skirmisher, but he could not risk anyone knowing of his magic. Discreet forms of Triss magic that would delay or momentarily throw off an attacker would be of little use. Skirmishers could recover too quickly. Creating an obstruction in the enemy's windpipe would scream magic, but perhaps disabling a weapon or damaging a leg might give them an edge. The too quick staccato of boots on the damp rocks tightened grips on swords and pinned eyes to the entrance into the sewer. Jen's mind raced, but not quickly enough, as a blurred figure darted through the hole and into the sewer water, blackish-green spray flinging up behind churning legs. While difficult to see, Jen could tell that the soldier wore the white of the Elderfair, a long sword drawn and whipping back and forth. There was no time to think. With a quick effort, Jen used his magic to weaken the sword metal, where the hilt met the blade just as the skirmisher crossed the distance to face him. Jen timed his swing, the skirmisher easily blocking, but as he did, the blade simply gave way and fell into the water. The skirmisher withdrew several paces and stopped momentarily to regard the hilt. The church soldier was built like Jen, tall, lean and fast. He regarded them briefly and sprinted forward with such speed that they could barely follow him. On his first pass, he bashed Volney in the face with the heavy hilt. The young man fell backward into the water, blood spurting from his nose. Gerund stooped to help him up, but received the same punishment as the skirmisher flew by in the opposite direction.
"Clump together,"
Torbrand ordered. Jen complied, sidling up next to Hardman and Maywen. Gerund and Volney floated in the water, unmoving. Jen swallowed hard. As the blur started at them again, they all struck out, but the skirmisher diverted to the right, flanking them. In a half a moment, he had grabbed Maywen by the jerkin and slammed her into the slimy sewer wall. Her head cracked against the stones, and she slumped down unconscious. Her torch sizzled out in the repulsive water, and absolute darkness fell. All sound and movement stopped momentarily.
"Mikik's curse upon you,"
Hardman yelled. Jen felt the general step away from them and heard tentative steps forward.
"Can't see worth a bugger, churchman, can you? Well, I've the eyes of an owl," and
rapid splashes, three solid thumps and a heavy splash later, Jen knew Hardman had fallen. At worst, the skirmisher would have taken hold of destiny. Unwittingly, Jen realized, their attacker had afforded them the protection of darkness and an advantage to exploit. Closing his eyes, Jen concentrated his senses in the direction of the struggle, the quick breathing of their assailant plane above the trickling of the water. While committing a cardinal sin of sword-fighting, Jen took the risk. Swinging both arms above his head, he flung the sword point first in the direction where he heard the rapid breaths. The soldier rewarded him with a painful grunt and the sound of footsteps staggering back away from them. To Jen's surprise, Torbrand thrust his sword into his former pupil's hand and hastily felt through his gear, removing a torch and flint. With two sure strikes, the torch flared to life, revealing the skirmisher leaning against the wall, bandaging a bad cut to his lower left abdomen. Even blurred, the pale of his face revealed his weakness, and Jen remembered the bane of flash skirmishers. Quickened bodies moved, healed, and bled at an accelerated pace. Hardman lay slumped over a flotilla of garbage.
"If you would have aimed just a touch higher, this would all be over,"
Torbrand criticised, as Jen returned his sword to him. Torbrand started toward the skirmisher, and Jen was looking to follow when he noticed that Volney and Geraint floated face down in the water. As quickly as he could, he dragged them out of the sludge and to the slightly raised bank where Maywen lay bleeding from her scalp, face wan. To make matters worse, the sounds of soldiers approaching in the cave grew painfully close. Jen looked up.
"This has to end now."
Torbrand approached his quarry cautiously. The skirmisher made no move, standing stock still until Torbrand shot forward, slicing the fatigued soldier on the arm, blood running out in a steady stream. The former Shadan backed away, but the soldier sprang forward, landing a solid blow to Torbrand's midsection and ripping the sword from his hands. Jen concentrated. While experienced Triss magicians could alter the complex organs of the body directly, to do so required great will and great power. Jen chose the easier path, creating a thick, gooey substance in the empty airway. The celerity with which the skirmisher choked, turned purple and died surprised Jen. Torbrand's face showed his surprise, but he did not dwell on it as the sound of hurried boots drew near.
"I'll heal Hardman," he said. "You see if you can get those two breathing and then find a sword."
Jen had already thought the same thing. They could not heal or carry everyone before the first wave of soldiers found them, but they stood a better than average chance of beating them off. Remembering Samian's training, Jen pumped his friends' chests and breathed into their mouths until they gagged and expelled the smelly water from their lungs and started to stir. Jen wiped his mouth and set his mind to ignore the awful taste. He found a sword by the time the first soldiers piled through the entrance, wielding short swords and bucklers meant for fighting in close quarters. Seeing no immediate offence, the leader waited until 12 others joined him. By that time, a tired Torbrand had healed Hardman, who, by virtue of a leather strap, still had possession of destiny. Their foes formed a wedge, preparing to charge. Jen glanced at the hungry, anticipatory fire in his companion's eyes, and then back to the church warriors before them. Perhaps never before in Key Hall had a group of soldiers met with such misfortune.
"At last," Hardman growled, stretching his neck. "A straight fight."
The Elder Fair were well trained but wildly outclassed. What Hardman did with brutal delight, Jen and Torbrand accomplished with determination and precision. In moments, the three men swept away their resistance like dry leaves before the gale.
"Too easy,"
Hardman commented as they crossed to their injured companions.
"I will have to recover before I can heal Maywen,"
Torbrand informed them.
"I'll carry her."
Jen tucked his sword into his belt and hefted the half-elf after donning her gear.
"Can you two walk without help?"
Torbrand asked Volney and Geraint. The lack of response from the stunned young men was answer enough. Hardman and Torbrand pulled them to their feet, looping their arms over their shoulders.
"Now we find a place to hole up and heal," Torbrand said.
"Anywhere but here," Volney gagged.